Praise God. Now, we've been opening up these gifts over the last couple of weeks, so now we're up to gift number three. So the first week we had Reformer, if you can't see it from back there. Jesus is the Reformer, and we're called to reform society, and Jesus is the Shepherd, the great Shepherd of the sheep. Now we're going to open up box number three, and I'm going to invite Jaffet. Come on. Oh, do you like my tie, Jaffet? Hey. Box number three, we're going to open that up and see what that says. Take your time. I don't actually have a sermon. That's all right. We're just going to do this. That's all we're going to... No.
Savior, Messiah, Lord.
Savior, Messiah, Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, you've got to put that up on the tree for me. Thanks. All right. I need three people up the front. I need someone that's tall. Anyone that's tall? Maybe Jaffet, you can stay here. You can stay here. Someone that's medium size and then die as well. Oh, sorry. Someone medium size. Yeah, Tanya, come. So this is just helpful to remember. Come in the middle there. Large, medium, small. There's a scripture that we're going to read this morning that speaks about Jesus being Savior. Small, yeah. M for Messiah, L for Lord. All right, so you can just have that in your mind if you want to remember this passage in Luke. Small, medium, large. And there you go. Big round of applause. Thank you. Go grab a seat. That's all I wanted. So that just helps you remember. There's a scripture in Luke chapter 2, which Deb actually read out this morning. And if you've got a script, if you've got the scriptures, got a Bible there, why don't you open up to Luke chapter 2? I love Luke's account of the stories of the birth of Jesus. Now remember, just to put in context, Luke is writing this gospel maybe a few years after the time of Jesus, and he's reflecting back on it, and he's sharing the stories of the birth of Christ. And this is one of the stories that he records for us in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.'" Today, we've got to realize that Jesus is still a Savior. And, you know, people in society today don't always trust in Jesus as Savior because they don't believe they need saving from anything. But when we look around society, we look around the broken world that we live in, we realize we need someone to deliver us, to save us, to set us free. Who knows that we need a Savior? Yeah? We need a Savior, and this world needs a Savior, and we need, you know, people in our society to realize that they need to humble themselves before God and trust in Jesus, because he's the one who is a Savior. And in this life, we all face difficult circumstances, but Jesus came to deliver us, to save us, to set us free. Hallelujah. Now, we have a video of a powerful testimony of a friend of ours named Kate, who's a Salvation Army officer in Reservoir. But she's been unwell, and she shares a little bit of her testimony and shares a little bit of the grace of God during her time. Thanks, guys. Powerful stuff. Jesus is our Savior. Remember the verse in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is the Messiah. Messiah is one specifically set apart for God's work, and not so much a word that we use nowadays, but in the Old Testament, the word that kind of preceded Messiah was anointed one. Now, in Luke chapter 4, just a couple of chapters later, we see Jesus talks about, or he mentions in the synagogue about Isaiah 61, or he finds the section of Isaiah 61, and he begins to read, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me." Now, remember, the people of Israel were expecting a Messiah, the promised Messiah, and Jesus gets up, and in Luke's gospel, the first public words he shares are from Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So Jesus is not just a Savior, he is a Messiah. He is the promised one. He is the anointed one. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he was anointed for that task. And at his baptism, he was filled with the Spirit of God and he began his ministry. I was thinking recently, last year, I decided to join the school council. Well, I decided to put an application in to possibly join the school council of Craigieburn South Primary and Craigieburn Secondary College have one school council. Quite unique, but two schools with one school council. So I had to write a little blurb to get onto school council, and you know, I had to just make something up. Or I've got a child now in prep. I wouldn't mind, you know, having the opportunity to be on school council. I work at the Salvation Army. My wife thinks I've got a good sense of humour. You know, I wrote all these things. That was really bad. I wrote this little blurb. Anyway, I'm reading this, the newsletter that came out with all the list of the potential applicants for the school council, right? I've been part of the school for 24 years. I'm gifted at this, gifted at that. I thought, I've got no hope of getting on this school council. Somehow, a couple of weeks later, I got an email that said, "You've been voted on the school council." I don't even know who voted. I didn't vote. I should have put in a vote. But I got voted in the school council. Got on the school council last year, just every month. You know, they do pizza over the meetings. It's just awesome. And we talk about school policies and different things. February of this year, the school council president steps down. His daughter's in year 12, and he thought it's time for me to kind of step down from this position. And so we're in a meeting in February of this year, and they said, "Right, are there any nominations for school council president?" And we were sat there for a little while, was quiet, and you know, you don't want to put your hand up straight away, it comes across a little bit pretentious. Someone put their hand up and said, I'll self-nominate. And then someone else said, I'll self-nominate. And then I put my hand up and said, I'll self-nominate as well. So we had three people putting their hand up for school council president. And so one of the school principals said, "Right, we'll have to do a vote, bit of survivor style vote here. And if each of you write down a name on a piece of paper, and we'll count the number of votes." Right? So we do the names, and there was a draw between me and another lady, and then the other person didn't get enough votes, so they were sort of out, and it was round two, right? This is a lot of pressure here for school council. And then the other lady who had previously been a school council president, she said, "No, I'm happy for Peter to grab the position." So I was voted in as school council president, right? Now, go with me here for a minute. Go back to Bethlehem, all right? Say you're at Bethlehem Hospital, and you're in Bethlehem Hospital, and there's 15 babies in the cribs. I don't know what they used back then and what hospitals look like, but say there's 15 babies, and it's not like someone comes along and says, "Right, who can we anoint as the Messiah?" Okay, no, you haven't got enough hair. You've got too much hair. You're a little bit ugly. You cry too much. We'll pick this child here. All right, you can be the Messiah. That's not how it worked. God, before the beginning of time, had already preordained the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And he was born of the Virgin Mary, right? Immaculate Conception. Jesus was chosen by God. Now, I don't know if the exact DNA of Jesus was chosen by God. I don't know that. But God chose Jesus to be the Messiah, the anointed one, right? And it wasn't some sort of little vote system, and Mary and Joseph had to decide, yeah, he can be the anointed one. God chose Jesus to be the anointed one, the Messiah. Praise the Lord. So he is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is also the Lord. Remember, small, medium, large? Savior, Messiah, Lord. And the Lord means to be the master, the owner, the one who is supreme in authority. And let me say to you this morning, it doesn't say in the scriptures, in the town of Bethlehem, a baby was born, right? Luke's writing this gospel, probably on parchment paper, maybe someone's writing it for him, and they're kind of scrolling this thing in another language. And he's thinking, all right, let me record the story of the birth of Jesus. In the town of in the town of David, in Bethlehem, a baby was, a savior was born, yeah? He doesn't write, in the town of David, a nice moral teacher was born. He doesn't write, in the town of David, a nice philosopher was born. In the town of David, a religious leader was born. He doesn't write that. Luke writes, in the town of David, a savior was born, yeah? Now, many of us would rewrite Luke chapter 2, verse 11, and write, in the town of David, a baby was born. Meek and mild, no crying he makes, Gloria, Gloria, whatever. In the town of David, a Savior was born. He is the Messiah, the Lord, yeah? Come on. In the town of David, not just a nice religious leader, not just a nice moral teacher, in the town of David, a Savior was born. Not just a baby, not just a child, a Savior. Come on, praise the Lord. In the town of David, a Savior was born, a Messiah, the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we would do well as a society to put Jesus back where he needs to be. As the King of Kings, as the Lord of Lords, not just a nice religious person, not just one religious teacher among many, not just a way, but the way. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is the Lord. Hallelujah. I have one thing I want to mention to you this morning. And if, is Joe here to play piano, or she's doing Kids Church with Vicky, I think. That's all right. Just do music in your head while I'm talking. Good tune, good tune. I was thinking of this picture of Jesus being the Lord. And we talk about Jesus being the Lord of our life. Kind of someone who is in control of our life, who is the supreme authority. And I think at times as Christians, Jesus is the Lord most of the time, but sometimes he's just kind of there in the distance. I have this picture of, like, say a house with lots of rooms, right? Say it's a double-story house and you've got three rooms here, three rooms at the top and an attic. And Jesus wants to be Lord of the whole house, right? And say the house represents your life, right? And in one of the rooms there you've got church on Sunday. Maybe another room is your attitude. Maybe another room is your workplace. Maybe one is what you do on the weekends. Maybe one of the rooms is what you do on the holidays. Maybe another room is your finances. Maybe another room is what you do to serve God or not do. And there's a room, and Jesus wants to be Lord of your life, yeah? And some of us put Jesus in a little box over here on a Sunday morning, and say, all right, Jesus can have my Sunday morning. If I just wake up in time, I'll get there, I'll turn up to a religious building, do a religious commitment, and he can have that. And then when I go to work, I'll just go through the motions and, you know, do work, and I'll do whatever I want on holidays, and I'll do whatever I want over here. Jesus wants to be Lord of your life. Yeah? And Christian maturity is getting to the point where Jesus becomes Lord of all of your life, every single room. And I would dare to say, even for me, that there are little things that go on in our life where Jesus isn't the Lord of. And, you know, we want to get to the point where, hey, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of everything. My attitude, the way I react to my mother-in-law. No, not me, just others. Jesus wants to be Lord of your life in everything, even in your finances, even in your relationships, even in your workplace, even in the tea room when you're whinging about the boss. Jesus wants to be Lord of your life, yeah? Oh, you're in a different tea room to me. That's all right. That's okay. I understand. Jesus wants to be Lord of your life in every single room, yeah? Every single part. And that's Christian maturity to say, God, I want you to be Savior, Messiah, Lord of everything. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. John, you just pop some music on, unless you want to play piano yourself, but pop some music on. And I want to have an opportunity just to pray this morning, and that we might take a moment just to say, God, every single facet, every single part of my life, I want you to be Lord. And if you've already made that commitment and you're fully mature in Christ, that's awesome. Recommit it again and say, God, just every part of my life. Praise the Lord.